Hear now a reading from the Gospel of Mark. While Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard. And she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." The word of the Lord. We have been sharing our stories as a community of faith during Moments for Mission the past few weeks, as well as writing down our thoughts on what we think are the good things that God is doing at St. Andrew. This is an intentional effort by our stewardship team to give us the opportunity to share with each other what it means to be a congregation that sees with gratitude the ways in which God works through us right here in this particular time and place, works through each of us of all ages and stages. Talking about these things together as a family of faith hones our ability to see, to share, to witness, and grows us as generous givers to give in gratitude for all that we have received. Our Moment for Mission speakers have been invited to share what giving to God through St. Andrew means to each of them. They were told that they did not have to be poignant or funny, but I think each of them took that as a challenge because they have all been poignant and funny. We heard from Rachel O'Day on Rally Day, reflect on serving from the context of being a teenager. It's hard for some of us to hearken back that far, that many years. So it was wonderful to hear Rachel share about the mission trip that she participated in this past summer. She and some of the other youth, as they've done in the past, listened and heard God's call. They responded to give themselves and their time to others who needed help. They spent a week of their summer vacation giving, serving, and learning more about God's ways of being used by God to bless others. The mission trip was supported through youth fundraisers, which so many of you supported generously, as well as St. Andrew Mission Funds. We heard reflections from Gail Strange, a member of St. Andrew for a little bit longer than Rachel, over 50 years. She shared her wisdom gained through commitment and devotion given over the course of time and history to the church family that God called her to. She gave of herself and still does to building up the community and has never regretted the time and energy expended. The Sunday after Gail, we heard from Joe Offord, a former Baptist who spoke the language of many of our former Baptists who occupy these pews each and every Sunday. Joe told us about his strong views on giving and tithing. He then recounted a story about a longtime member who was over 90 years old at the time of the moment for mission that she gave. Joe shared about Steva Harris, who forcefully told us she gave not because it was expedient or that the money would go to serve her needs at the time. She gave because she believed in the gift of and responsibility of giving to God for the blessing and nurture of others, including families with children and youth. Last week, Laura Hillis, a Cradle Presbyterian whose roots are deep in the Reformed tradition in the Presbyterian Church, shared from her context at St. Andrew as a mother of two young children. She reflected on the life of giving when it is hard to concentrate on a sermon, or the hymns, or the people around you because you're wondering when the hymnal that your three-year-old is using as the foundation for his coloring sheets is going to drop to the floor. Or as all parents wonder during time with young disciples, where your child is going to be sitting and listening or maybe not. She and her husband give to the Family of Faith a place where they feel called to worship and serve God, the place where their children will be nurtured and shaped in the faith by all of you. In a few minutes, we will hear from Susan and Steve Danbaum reflect on their experience of giving here at St. Andrew. Stories matter. They are what we tell to others about ourselves when we are getting to know one another, and we start to reveal just a little bit about what is most important to us, to others. That is what we did on the very first Sunday of our Presbyterian 101 class. We shared stories about ourselves to others around us. Stories have the ability to contain our joy and our pain, our frustrations, our anger, our dreams, and our hopes. Stories bind us together like a tightly woven tapestry. And they can also paint pictures that are open to interpretations when studied or experienced by others. Stories give us identity, even when we feel uncomfortable about some of the stories that we hear or which are attached to us. Stories remind us of what matters as we tell and retell and retell. The narrative story that I just read is one that many of us know. It's in all four Gospels in some form or another. When people asked me this week, they said, oh, what are you preaching on? I'd say, you know, the story in Mark, the woman with the jar of ointment, she anoints Jesus, and they nodded, all of them, oh, yeah, yeah, I know that story. It is, the Gospel of Mark puts it right in the middle of the Passion narrative. Its bookends are, it's preceded by scribes and the chief priests plotting to kill Jesus, then the story of the woman, and then the other bookend is Judas agreeing to betray Jesus. And it's in this interweaving of stories that Mark is so prone to do that the gospel writer tells the woman's story, never once mentioning her name. There is not a lot known about the anonymous woman. Only her action is known. Since the woman was not named, but there was no indignation expressed by the guests at the dinner, it's thought that she was probably a woman of the household, one whose role and function would have been to serve and to entertain the guests. Because of her action and what she presented to Jesus, that thought she could have been a woman of means. We see Jesus eating at the house of Simon the leper. This is a clue that Jesus eats with outcasts, and as we will see later and experience later in this narrative, praises the people on the margins. The woman enters the story, carrying a beautiful alabaster vessel filled with perfumed ointment, precious oil worth a full year's wages. What she carried required special care because of its contents and the worth of what was in that beautiful vase. We don't know if she felt nervous, hesitant, or excited as she carried the vase of perfumed ointment in her two hands. All we know is her action. She broke the jar wide open, closing the way to saving any of that ointment for later use, and she poured out the entire contents of the vase onto Jesus' head. The smell filled the room like heavy incense. Immediately, the judgments and the criticisms started. She used too much. She was too extravagant. The money from the sale of that oil could be is a year's salary, and think of all the good that could be done with that. There was genuine indignation expressed by the people around the table over such an extravagant gesture. They just couldn't believe it. There were pious platitudes. Some of these might have come from a place of embarrassment, even for the woman who so openly displayed her devotion in this extravagant way. Jesus responds to their criticisms, and he stops their scolding. He praises the woman, affirming her action and saying, as long as the gospel, for all the years that the gospel is proclaimed, this story will be told and we will remember her. Jesus doesn't need the others around the table to judge the worth of the woman's gift to him. Jesus doesn't need us to misjudge the faithfulness of others by their gifts and compare them to our gifts. He receives the woman's gift in gratitude. In addition, Jesus does not deny the responsibility of the Christian life. When he says, helping the poor is a responsibility of the Christian life. They will always be with us. And we know following Jesus leads us right to the poor. Instead, Jesus simply acknowledges the woman's ability to go deeper, to go beyond the surface. He praises her acknowledgement of how Jesus is choosing to give all of himself in sacrifice, in love, in order to save us by the gift of himself on the cross, its own extravagant gesture. Jesus knew the woman well, and her act proclaimed that Jesus' death was a saving death, a sign of his even more generous act on the cross. This story is one of our family stories. It's a part of our family identity, and we tell and retell it. How will we allow it to shape our identity here in this time and place and become woven into our St. Andrew tapestry of faith? The picture that we paint for ourselves to see, and also Denton and the world to see. The woman broke open the vase and poured it all out for Jesus. What if we broke open our lives, broke through our fears, our judgment of others, our affinity for security, our worry about what others might think, to give our gifts with the same exuberance and extravagance? What if we think big, dream big, give big, like the woman whose name has never been known throughout all these centuries to each of us? She is anonymous, but she is not anonymous to Jesus. God works through people, through flawed people, through treasures in clay jars, just like each one of us. How will we break open our lives so that we expend all of ourselves, maybe then rather than just a small portion, carefully measured out? How can our actions of gratitude and response to God fill the air around us in this place, out in Denton, so that we might be scolded for the way our actions of response to God's grace are just too much? How will we? Amen.